Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I want to jump right in to what I was talking about last week. And just real quick, for those of you that weren't here last week, let me give you just a quick rundown of some of what I was talking about. I started in Deuteronomy 5, verse 8. And if you have your Bibles and you want to turn there, that's going to be our theme for tonight. And probably I'll preach on this even more later. But we talked about an idol or an image. And let me just start tonight by saying the title of what I'm talking about is that we're to be free from the image that we create in our mind about everything else that comes before God. And we've got to be free from that because we all have images that we place in our mind. And we talked a lot about that last week. And it was really important last week, if you were here, that you got a hold of what I was talking about. Deuteronomy 5, verse 8. You must not make for yourself. And I've got that underlined in my Bible. Make for yourself an idol of any kind, or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. So as we were talking about idols and images, we were talking about what those were. And they are things that are made up by man. Now, they can be physically made by man, or they can be made by man as something you fabricate in your mind. You can take a rock, and in your mind, you make that rock something that's an image or an idol. Now, everybody gets that, well, Pastor, I want you to know I am not worshiping an image or an idol. And I'm not just talking about a rock or a golden calf. What I'm talking about tonight is something that we place that's made up in our mind or that we made ourselves. Maybe you built something and all of your attention, your reverence, your adoration, your respect is coming to it before God. It can even be yourself, your self-image. See, we talked about how we see God and oftentimes where we mess that up because we do mess it up. We see God at different times of our life differently. I mean, if you're in need of a healing and God heals you, then you see God as a healer. But if you've never needed healing and you've never seen God move in that way, then you don't really recognize that. And a lot of churches who never pray for healing, they never see healing. Well, I don't believe God can heal me. If you think that way, then you won't think that way about God, and probably you're not going to be healed. See, we don't recognize the areas that we don't see God because we don't look at Him as God in areas that we are looking at something else. We're looking to a doctor, and we're making them our image of how healing is going to come when we understand that all healing comes from God. So whatever that is, it can be in your finances. God came through and saw you through as you were obedient to the tithe and the offering. And you're like, wow, I can't believe what God's doing in my finances. And you've done this for years. But we see God differently at different stages and depending on where we are. Now, here's the thing you got to be careful about. And I don't want to reteach y'all last week, but we take a snapshot of God and then we get in our mind, okay, that's what God looks like. And then we don't see Him ever changing, and He doesn't change, but He is way bigger than we see Him. So He doesn't change, but our image, our view, our understanding of Him changes. And so we've got to always be seeing the image of God, not the image of something else. And as we grow in our Christianity and our walk in our faith, we can see God in a different place. I look at God different than I did 20 years ago. Why? Because He showed up in so many areas, and I have been a part of watching what He has done. Where you see Him show up, don't take a snapshot and leave Him there. Because then when you go out in life, then what happens is you only see God as this one area Well, I only see God in church because that's the only place I've ever seen him move. Let me tell you, I've seen him move countless times outside of a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. But a lot of people, that's the only time they ever see God move, and so they only view God as a church service on Sunday morning. And so those snapshots of what we have sometimes as a child go into adulthood, and we remember a day that we walked an aisle in church and we got saved and we got our forever home secured, and then we walked out and lived like a heathen. And, I need to get back in church so I can be close to God. And so then they go back to church, and then they have church because they want to be close to God one Sunday a week. Are you hearing what I mean? That's what we've got to be careful about. We've got to have a target that we're looking towards of who we are looking to God, but that target's got to be moving. See, I'm looking to God right here, and then God shows up there, but then I need him right here, and then I see him over here. And so it's a moving target. God's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Please don't think for a second that I'm saying God changes, but our understanding does. And that's what I was talking about last Wednesday night, just really quick. And we've got to get that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9 is where we ended off last week and where I want to start tonight. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke, I thought, and I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Don't think for a second that you're fooling God in any area. He knows you completely, and he knows me completely. He knows in and out who we are. But what he's saying is, you're not getting all of him. You're not getting all of the picture of creation and what he has done. So don't give up on learning and knowing more. Because we'll get caught up on, well, why isn't God coming through here? I don't know if anybody's thought that, but every one of us probably, if we were honest. I don't know why God hasn't showed up here yet. I don't know why he didn't show up here. You're not going to get all of that. And if you're trying to, I applaud you, because that's what we're working towards. But it says, then I will know everything completely, just as God right now knows me completely. If God created me and he knows the beginning from the end, and he's the author, he is the beginner, he's the finisher of my faith, everything about me he knows. If that's the case, what he's saying is, there'll be a day and time that I get a complete understanding of all of this. But don't beat yourself up when you don't know right now, and don't give up because you don't. Let me say that again. Don't give up because you don't get it. Well, I just don't get it. Why does so-and-so just seem to understand everything, and they just like, they are okay? There are different levels that people have seen what you're looking for right now. Somebody's probably already seen him in that area. And so we've got to continue to grow in our understanding. A child gets frustrated when they can't get what they want. And when I was a child, I thought, I spoke, I even reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, see what, tonight maybe you're here because there needs to be a little growing up. Maybe you're listening to a podcast because, come on, we got to grow up a little bit. We got to put away some of those childish thoughts. Well, how do we do that? We start pursuing God and getting rid of the way we're looking at things. We've got to be free from the image we're seeing. Are you hearing me? See, the image we're seeing may be messed up because we don't have God's picture. But there's a trust and a faith that comes in God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Dear friends, we're already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we'll see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. See, if you have an expectation to see God as he really is, then you need to stay pure right now. And you got to watch what you're thinking. You got to watch what you're doing, where you're allowing your mind to go. We got to make sure that we are growing and our eyes are on the Lord, not on something our flesh is desiring, but our spirit man is desiring. That we're desiring this out of a true love for God. Here's what happens. We take this snapshot, and then we dive into everything else going around us, and we lose God in the picture of what we're doing day in and day out, because we've got him in another picture over here. And when I get back to doing something that's in that picture, then I'll get a clarity of who God is again. But when I'm over here and I'm hurting and I'm frustrated and I'm health issued and I'm this, that, I'm financially, my kids are out, my marriage, and you get in this picture and you haven't seen God come in and you haven't seen him here yet, and then you've still got a snapshot over here of where you saw him, but right now I can't see him, and so my image is of everything going on here, and I start thinking, okay, what am I going to do here? I need to do this, I need to do this, and we start putting our trust, our faith, our eyes, our focus in our home, in our car, in what we need to do on vacation so that we can get my wife loving me again, or I can get my husband loving me again, and we've got everything and all of what we're looking, we've got an image in the wrong thing. See, because we haven't seen God here, so we make an image of something else. And we've got to put God in the right place in our minds. Tonight, I want to just give three things. And if we get further than that, praise God, but I don't think we will. This is a watch out sermon. Watch out that you don't start getting something else in front of his image. I want us to be free from images that we're like praying for God, but we haven't seen him, and so we start looking to something else to supply what God intended to supply. And maybe it was over time. It's a promise of his. It's coming, but it's not in your possession yet. And so you start drifting away from seeing God the way you need to. Three kind of images that bind us if we worship them. Here's the first one I want to talk about. Our image of ourself. Our image of ourself. Self-expectation. When we come to Christ, we all have expectations of what Christians act like. I mean, when you got saved, you thought, okay, now I need to act saved. There's a certain way that a saved person would act. And you know, any person on the street or any heathen, person that doesn't know Jesus, they can tell you what they think a Christian should be like. In their mind, they've got a view of what Christians should be acting like. But let me just tell you, a heathen, a person on the street, they have no clue what a Christian should be like. Why? Because they have no idea who Christ is. And if your image is wrong about who Christ is, then you're going to be telling them something wrong about who Christ is. Their only image is you. See, you've heard it said that you may be the only Jesus someone ever sees. Or you've heard it said, you may be the only Bible anyone ever reads. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. The problem is we got a lot of people who walked an aisle at 8 or 10 or 12 years old, and they got saved, but they haven't read the Bible since, and they go out and tell someone they're a Christian, and their image of Christ is all wrong. And so they're out there as a Christian not acting like anything that Christ would act like. Come on, we can't be guilty of that. We've got to continue to move in our understanding and grow. One of the temptations of Christ was this, and I love this thought, so hear me tonight. This is really important. If you be the Son of God, then cast yourself off of this mount. Remember when he was being tempted? If you're the Son of God, then do this. If you're the Son of God, here's what he's saying, then act like it. And let me just tell you, Jesus didn't fall for it, and don't you. Because you'll have someone say, if you're a Christian, then here's what you do. And they don't have a view of what a Christian is. See, their image is of what something that the world painted in their mind, and it's not of Christ. It's not who God is. And so always be careful. Young people, know this in school. You'll have other friends. Sometime this will happen. Christians don't act like that. And they're just throwing you under a bus. And all you did was try to do something Christ-like. Or you thought you were doing the right thing. Here's what I want to tell you. Get in your word, get in your prayer life, get around other mature Christians and find out if you've got the right thinking here and you've got the right image of Jesus, the right understanding, or do you have a worldly mindset and we're thinking wrong here? See, don't let the world come and tell you if you be the Son of God, if you be a Christian, if you're a Christian, then here's what you ought to be doing. If you're a Christian, you wouldn't be having trouble in your marriage. That's a lie. That is a lie. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be in financial strain. No. Wait a minute here. Things happen in a fallen world. And that's why I serve someone who's bigger than a fallen world. And I don't know why there are wonderful, godly Christian people that are in a health crisis. But I know that that doesn't change the word, it doesn't change God. And so when someone says, if you're a Christian, then that this is what should have happened. They must have sin in their life. Oh, that one gets me. You are not to be the judge of that. That's God's position. What are you to do? Love them and pray for them. Love them and pray for them. Believe God for them. Love them and pray for them. And after you get done doing that, you know what you do? Love them and pray for them. And you love them and you pray for them. We've got a position that so many times as we grow in the Lord or we grow in what we think is an understanding of the Lord, we drop out the love and the prayer. When the love and the prayer is gone, your image is messed up. And you need to be free from that messed up image. And the way you get that is get your love back on and get your prayer life back in order. That's what's got to happen. Number two, our image of others. What we expect out of others. One of the greatest quotes that I ever read, and I read it years ago when we were working on some marriage stuff, but I love this. It says, when a man gets married, he starts acting like his father. Some of y'all go, yeah. When a man gets married, he starts acting like his father. When a woman gets married, she starts acting like her mother. The problems arise because the man's father was never married to his wife's mother. It's true. A lot of thought there. We place expectations on our spouse because we're expecting them to be, if we're a man, what our mom was, if we're a woman, what our dad was. We place expectations on not just our spouse, but on people because we think we know how they should act. We place expectations because we have an image that is clouding us, and they're just holier than thou, and they're too excited about the word. Or they need to get more excited about the word. They must not even be saved. And we put expectations on people to get to a certain level. And when they don't meet those expectations, we're frustrated. Come on, every one of us has been there. Because we had an expectation that someone didn't meet. Not just a spouse, a teacher, a boss, a parent, a pastor, a child. Trust me when I say, if you're putting an expectation on a person, don't be surprised when they don't meet it. Let me say that again. If you are putting an expectation on a person, it don't matter who that person is, what position, what title, it don't matter any of that. If you're putting an expectation on someone, don't be surprised when they don't meet it. You need to lower your expectations on people and put your focus back on God. And when your focus is on God, then what you can do is then you can start believing the best for people and you can expect that God's going to show up on their behalf. God's going to show up and show himself real to them. And our expectation needs to be upon God to see us through in life, but not frustrated when people fail because we're all sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that's what the Bible says. And there's none righteous, not one. The only reason people can get anything right in your life and in your expectations because they know Jesus. That's it. When someone succeeds or does something right, it's because somehow they followed an expectation, whether they're saved, a Christian, or whatever, but they followed something that's a guideline of the Word. And then we start seeing some joy and some happiness come about us because we put our expectation in the right place instead of the wrong place. The third point tonight is the kind of image that others have of us. What others expect out of us, or what, let me say it like this, what we think they see in us. Let me give you a word that really defines this. It's called peer pressure. Two words. Peer pressure. I don't know if anybody's been subjected to it, but it's what drives 90% of the world today. I just was flipping through the television stations and watching a little bit of news reports. And here's what I'm seeing a lot on television. I'm seeing outfits that they wore in the 70s and 80s starting to really come back. Some of y'all are going, I don't even know what those, well, just watch what people are wearing. And if you're over 40, you can know real quick that that's not the first time that I've ever seen an outfit like that. And I'm quite blown away. I'm going, oh, really? Why are they doing that? Why are they wearing that? Let me tell you why they are. Because someone else did. Here's what I've started doing, and it's not all the time because I do obviously not want to go a grain. I mean, I don't want to go against the grain of culture. I'm not wearing the same clothes that I did in the 70s and 80s. But if they come back in style, then I'll dig deeper in my closet. Some of y'all go, yeah, I can do. Come on, Mom, raise your hand. Wave a hanky or something. Yeah. I can dive deeper in my closet. Here is the thing. We're watching this, and then we're like, oh, I would never wear that. Well, let me tell you, there's a day and time I would never wear something that had bling right here. There was a day and time. But when I saw Rob in jeans like this, I probably better go get me some. Peer pressure from someone who I thought, he's a pretty godly man and sharp dresser. And my girl said, Dad, Rob looked nice today, didn't he? Yep. Found out what kind of jean he wore, and I went and bought some. But you know what? Rob's kind of cool to most. He has something that other people are wanting. He's got a great life. He's got good kids. He pays all his bills. He's well respected. And I could use probably just about any man in here to talk about this. So just he was the easy one because my pants resemble his. But here's what you got to know. As I was looking at getting these, all the thoughts of who that man was went through my mind in the kingdom of God. I'm not going to go buy pants. I'm not going to go buy shoes. If I'm going to buy something, I obviously don't want to be a weirdo in society. I want to be able to kind of be able to have some influence. So I'm aware of that. But not just clothes, whatever it is. The way I'm going to treat my wife. I'm not going to treat my wife the way so-and-so treats his wife unless I see a lot of fruit coming out of that marriage. And man, I tell you what, they got a great marriage. Then you might want to say some of what that person says. So I'm started looking at, we have this image of what others have of us. And my question is, I'm concerned about what other people think of me. So what I do is I line my life up with the Word of God, and then they can think whatever they want about me. But when people say, I don't care what anybody thinks, that's a foolish statement. I don't care what anybody else thinks. You better. You better care. Why? Because you're not going to be effective for the kingdom of God, and chances of you making another disciple ain't going to happen. And that's a command of God. Very clearly. Well, I don't care what anybody thinks. You just said real quick to me, nobody's following you. Or if they are, you're not taking them in a direction that's going to impact the kingdom. So you might want to care. I ask myself, of the people that I find trying to follow some of what I'm doing, is where I'm going scriptural? Is the counsel wise? When people are looking at me, I do care, but here's what I care about. I care that the kind of image that I'm portraying points to Christ. It doesn't point to something that's going to get them in a ditch and messed up. It's just important. It's important that we point people to Jesus.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.